I'm going to go over a meeting format, and then I'm going to have Ray go over the resources briefly. I will give him a time limit. Then we're going to have an experiential group. We're going to divide into gender specific, so you can experience what a group looks like and feels like. There's not going to be any deep sharing. If you guys share your name and maybe what a struggle is, and you know, it's a lab. So if we get that part and learn a little bit about the group dynamics and the small group guidelines, we'll have done good. Then we're going to have a debrief afterwards to see what that felt like, because for some people that can be an interesting experience. And then Katya is going to come in here and talk about where do we go from here. So that's what our afternoon lineup is. So Renee asked questions and she's not here, so I guess I'm not going to address that right now. So in advance preparation for a meeting, like you came in here today and the chairs were all set up, so that felt welcoming, right? If we go into a room, if we're holding a meeting and we haven't set up beforehand, then there's sort of that, well, this isn't very organized, it's, So we want to have the room set up. We want to have the chairs in a circle. You want to have the tissues in the middle of the room, whether it's on a chair or on the floor, but have a box of tissues there so people can take care, you know, if they're having emotion, they can take care of that. You want to have a binder. You want to make a... No, you don't. You want to have... Back up. You want to have your facilitator guide. We're debuting the new material. Previously, you would have had a binder. So you want to have your facilitator guide. And this guide is going to guide you through, basically, it's scripted out of what you need to say. So the criteria for a meeting place is that it's neutral. And Dave had talked about, you know, like not having it on the most busy night in your church. Because people's anonymity do need to be protected. So hopefully there's other meetings going on, but people can, you can be sort of at maybe a separate entrance for them to protect their anonymity. Now I want to talk about people dropping into your meeting that are on the church board or elders. We had a regeneration group in a church that I was helping, and the church board leaders would just float in to see who was there, and then they would float out, and it really made an unsafe environment. Like if they come, they need to be coming there for them, not to see who's coming, because that's, you know, messing up the anonymity and the confidentiality. Your report to the church board is, yes, we have people coming. How many people? It fluctuates. This isn't a numbers program, and our church is really driven by numbers, amen? This isn't a numbers program. If you have two people, you have a successful meeting. You know, it's one person helping another person. Of course, we want to grow, but I'm going to have to talk to finances, and she's not here, so oh well. It initially probably starts with you asking the church board to buy a case of Serenity Bibles. And y'all, you know what? We can't take these home, so I need you to buy some. Please. Please. I have no room in my suitcase to Canada. Ray has no room. So the initial outlay for the group, for the church, may be about $156 plus shipping for a case of Bibles. They're sold by a case if you buy them from Thomas Nelson. Of course you can buy them through Amazon or ChristianBook.com, whatever, but you're going to get the best price if you deal through Thomas Nelson. We have, you know, the sales rep for ministry, we get a ministry price. So, you know, if that interests you, I've given you my email address and I'll put you in touch with him, and you'll be good. So that's the financial outlay for that aspect of it. You may ask the church to buy some of these so that you can sell them to your participants. So the set The whole set that you purchased here was the price for the Health Summit. They're $39 after the Health Summit is over through Advent Source. Now, they are going to be selling these participant guidebooks individually, and I think they're going to be about $7 or $8. So it does break it down that, you know, people can't, don't maybe have $30 at one time to put out, but they can buy it, you know, every 3 months they can have another $7 to buy a book. Sort of the challenge with this I have seen is that with another organization that has participant books, that if they don't sell them as a package, then people drop out at step four, then they're left with three other books. So it, you know, the experience I've seen is to sell them as a package, then they're the ones that are left holding, not the church, right? But you, every group, you guys will figure it out what works for your church. But that would be an outlay that in your church board proposal. So the church board proposal, you'll want to include what this ministry is. So you'll want to include the mission statement and vision statement that was read to you this morning, and that's straight off the hop this last Thursday as we voted on that. They're going to want to know what this ministry, just pass it around, and then just put it at the back. Thank you. And then they're going to want to know, like, what is their responsibility? Okay, we'll get this done because it's really distracting. I can't think. Yeah. They want to, okay, Ray, come and talk about a church board, what they need to know, like, in 4 minutes. What a church board needs to know to pass this. Because my brain's just gone interrupted.
Okay, Betty, you've pretty well covered what the church board needs. But in addition to that, the church board needs to know that there is a group of committed Seventh-day Adventists that are accepted by your church leadership. In other words, this isn't just some group off the street that's coming to do this. There's going to be much better acceptance with your church board if they know that the pastor's on board and one or two of your church leaders. In addition to that, anything that you can give them to let the board know what it is, if you can show them the materials, show them that it's Advent Source, it's published by our Seventh-day Adventist Church. In other words, it's not somebody else's program that we're borrowing. And at times, people may question and say, well, I've heard this about 12-step groups, or I've heard that. We can help you with some of those challenges that perhaps you might meet. But my bottom line is take the best and leave the rest. In other words, what some other group does, and there are groups, some of the codependents, CODA groups, some of that may be a little new agey. That's the local group. It's not every group. Just like no two families are the same, no two groups are going to be exactly the same. Make sure that the church board knows and understands that you want this to be a spiritual program, that you want it to be supportive of the church's overall ministry. It's not out there somewhere. And for some of you, and some of you have mentioned that perhaps it might be better to start in a neutral location, such as a community services center. Some of your churches that may be a little larger, you may have your own community services center. I think they just call it community services, Adventist Community Services. But it may be a community center that's located away from the church. But let your church members know, and from time to time, keep it in the forefront. Make sure it's in your church bulletin every week. But all this can be done as you're planning. Let your church board know that this is well thought out, well planned, and this is what you intend to do. And if you have several members of your church board that perhaps are part of your core group, or even if they're not part of your core group, if they know what you're doing, if you have a personal relationship with them, they're going to be much more likely to give their approval. There may be a few questions that people might ask, but let them know that you're not here to disrupt their program. You're here to add to it. And in many ways, this is very much like I think they were called social hour, a social meeting. The Methodist Church, that's how they really got their start, and it came over into the Seventh-day Adventist Church as cottage meetings. A cottage meeting is simply a prayer meeting, but it's different than a book study. People really share their thoughts, their feelings. In fact, there's references in the writings of Ellen White that the social meeting of the church should be a time to share thoughts and feelings. And in the early Seventh-day Adventist Church, they would at times simply have Bible study. If anything had to be left out, it wasn't the fellowship time. That was what was important to them. And on many occasions, they would find that in the breakout meetings after an evangelistic meeting, that those are where decisions might be made.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you. So just to recap for a moment, I've spoken about the church board. If you are interested, I have a church board proposal that I wrote for a church to use as sort of a template to give them ideas of where. So if you're interested in me emailing that to you, then please send me an email, which I gave you the address for. So the bottom line, the church wants to know what it's going to cost them, who's going to run it, you know, who's going to open up the church, and it needs to be a minuted item so that it's covered by Adventist risk management. And the budget item, Renee asked about, you know, if you have food afterwards, that's something that you would be taking your offering for there, or if your church was a moneyed church and they believed that they wanted to contribute so that you had refreshments after, that's what you need to work out with your church. We do take an offering, and in a group that I belong to, that goes for, it doesn't go for resources, because the resources pay for themselves, but it goes for helping people in need, because sometimes people come and they're, you know, they just don't have food to make it to the end of the month, so that's what the offering that we take at that particular group goes for, and it's helped people at Christmas. So every group's autonomous. You figure out what works for your group. So we're going to go over the meeting format. Does that answer your questions, Renee?
How much do you charge for this program?
This is a free program. They have to buy the resources. They have to buy the resources. Okay. So you're going to open your meeting with prayer. You're going to get there early. You're going to set up the chairs. You're going to have the Kleenex box out if you're going to have juice. We don't recommend having food during a meeting. We recommend that you're just there. No knitting, no sewing, no crocheting, because all of that stuff is crosstalk, really, and it's separating us from our feelings. If I can be busy doing this, then I'm not necessarily paying attention with what's in here. So we recommend. And sometimes you lovingly have to speak to somebody and ask them to put their stuff aside, but do it in a loving way at the end of the meeting and not shaming them. So you're going to start with prayer, and then the meeting format is laid out here. There's a bunch of readings to do. There's the Serenity Bible that it makes reference to. And I'm going to ask Ray to go over that format. Can you take about 15 minutes and do that, Ray? And walk them through that participant guide, not the leader's guide, but the participant guide in like day one. Talk about that. Thank you.
Sure. Before I do, some of you were asking earlier about pricing. If you go to the website for Advent Source, and you can go directly to each individual guide, there is discounting. And if you, 1 to 9 copies, it's $7.95. 10 to 19, it's $6.95. 20 or more copies, they're $5.95 each. So it's all on the Advent Source website. So there's a lot of different variations that can be used to go with. As you look at your participant guide, and if you'd open that.
Break them out of the plastic.
Hmm?
Break them out of the plastic.
Break them out of the plastic, yes. Yeah. And if you'll go to page 7, there's a table of contents and introduction, Adventist Recovery Ministries.
Which color are you?
Directions. This is the participant guide number 1.
Okay. Oh, I see. Guide.
Yeah. On page 6, there's general directions. Dear fellow travelers, and a map for our journey, our life journey. But we think of this as a travel guide. We all travel from time to time. Even if we just travel to the grocery store, everyone understands a little bit about traveling. Most of us, when we travel, particularly if it's in our hometown, we kind of know the route as if it were the back of our hand. We don't need a GPS to get us there. But if we're going to travel at a distance, if I'm going to travel to New York from here in Florida, I need to make some prearrangements. I need to perhaps go online and find out what airlines might be flying there, or go to a service, Orbitz or whatever, that will help me to determine the best route to take, the plane that might get me there with the least expense, or maybe I'm going to take Amtrak. That might be a little less expensive, or some of us perhaps even ride the bus. It's been a while since I've done that, but I think most of us have done that as well. But most of us travel with our cars. We really understand what it is to be a traveler. And we're all on a journey. As members of God's family, we believe that Jesus Christ, who lived here a couple of thousand years ago, he's coming back as he promised. We have that hope, we have that confidence, that faith. How do we get to where he is so that we can be ready to meet him when he comes? And so we're travelers, fellow travelers. Each week's study, and it's a little bit like a Sabbath school lesson quarterly, and yet it's different. Because rather than 7 days of study materials, it's 5 days. And you'll notice if you look at the page 11, that the first session, which deals with knowing that we're, if you go back to page 9, I'm sorry, we admitted that we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable, and there you'll see the introduction. But the week's portion of study, and if your group is meeting on Monday evening, then you may need to change the days of the week. It doesn't have to be day specific as to when you study the materials. It'll depend on when your group meets. But if you're meeting on a Sabbath afternoon or a Friday evening, then this would work out quite well. You wouldn't have to worry about being concerned as to the days of the week. In the future, we might just say day 1, day 2, day 3, and that might work a little better. So we wouldn't have to worry about the specific days. I'll go with that. some words I have trouble with. But you'll notice that each step is divided into 4 parts. And so if you go back to page 7, the introduction is map gazing, compass reading, a peek at the journey ahead. And so that first session, session 1, dealing with that first step. So again, we're flipping back and forth between pages 11 and page 7. That first session dealing with step 1 is concerning map gazing and compass reading, a peek at the journey ahead. Some of the most exciting activity in getting ready to to travel someplace is to plan for the journey. What am I going to do when I get there? What's it going to look like? Perhaps looking at pictures on the internet or pictures that a friend might share with us who's perhaps been there. So in the first lesson, and if you're back on page 7 now, this section appears as the first lesson in each week's study. Its purpose is to introduce the step to be studied and the most important questions within each step. The general readings and response questions will explore our current attitudes and outlooks on these issues. The section serves both as a glimpse of where we are headed and a compass reading of where we currently stand. So where are we? Where am I in relationship to where I want to be? Where am I going? What's the purpose of this? And then you'll notice that the second session will be the travelogue portion, a look at the book. And so it'll be getting right into God's Word, the Serenity Bible, and the details there. And so the assignments, some of those assignments are going to be writing. None of us are limited to just one style of learning. And writing, for many people, is a very effective way of learning. Some people, it may just be one or two words. My son, when he was in school, his notes would look like maybe 4 or 5 words on a page. My notes would look like 50 pages. At the end of a semester or a quarter in school, I would be taking longhand, page after page after page of notes, and then I'd review those when the test would come. So no two of us are the same. Each person will take what is applicable to them. The more a person puts into it, the more they're going to get out of it. The more they study, it may not be just this material. It may not be just the Serenity Bible. It may be one of the other recovery Bibles, Recovery Devotional Bible, which is the New International Version, the whole Bible. Or it may be the Life Recovery Bible, the New Living Translation, and I have all those. And Betty mentioned Celebrate Recovery has a Bible for their groups that they use. And some of you, there may be some who come to your group that don't have any of these Bibles, but if they have a Bible, at least you can give them some guidance and direction so that the study they do, the reading they do, will be meaningful and it'll be centered in God's Word. And some people learn just by being out in God's book of nature, or perhaps being with someone who has had experience with this. And a person may say, I read this, but I can't figure out heads or tails of it. I know a friend of mine who was a pastor, and he said when he first started reading God's Word, he couldn't make any sense out of it. And he was going to a theological school. He was doing this to escape the draft. And he said a lot of what these teachers were teaching, and you know, these doctors in this well-known theological school in Boston, he said their classes were as dry as sawdust. So he wasn't really there for the right reason, but he had a conversion experience through a woman that he met who later became his wife. And she had had a conversion experience with Billy Graham in one of his evangelistic meetings. So together they began to explore God's Word, and then he attended a conservative theological seminary, not Seventh-day Adventist, and then he was put in touch with a Seventh-day Adventist pastor some years later, and as a result became a Seventh-day Adventist pastor himself. But the thing to remember is that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Paul tells us this when he's writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. That's a principle to keep in mind. Not everyone is going to be able to get the same thing from a meeting. And so that's why we usually and very often will say, take the best and leave the rest. Take what's meaningful to you. And people learn from each other. And what is shared in a meeting may not necessarily be shared to the depth that it would be shared in a one-on-one conversation as in a sponsor-sponsoree relationship. Are there any questions as you're looking at the material? Is it self-explanatory?
I'm wondering about these Bibles. I really think they're great. How can I buy those in bulk in order to sell them to the people that are going to...
You can buy them in bulk from Thomas Nelson. And just because the last name of this publishing company is Nelson, I don't receive any of the royalties. I have nothing to do. We are related, but all the records were lost in the big flood.
Okay. So just go to their website?
You can go to their website and ask for, tell them that your church is involved with a ministry. You can mention Adventist Recovery Ministries and tell them that you would like to order a case of their Bibles. Yes? It's primarily because of the expense. It's relatively inexpensive. And it is a good introduction to the 12 steps. The first 80 pages are directly related to each of the 12 steps, how they came to be. It explains each step. And then after page 80, the Bible starts renumbering itself with the Gospel of Matthew. Just AdventistRecovery.org. That's our website, and we can put you in touch with Thomas Nelson.
Not Seventh-day Adventist.
No, it doesn't have to be Seventh-day Adventist. No.
www.AdventistRecovery.org.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think we're. With regards to the sponsor and the sponsoring situation, how do you set up the sponsor and the sponsoring?
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems to be a very strong point.
It's a very strong point and a very important point. I think that one reason that many 12-step groups are not more successful in their ability to help others within the group is that those relationships are not developed. You remember Jesus Christ, when he commissioned his disciples, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." I didn't realize for many years that Matthew had actually used two different words, or Jesus used two different words. I had grown up with the King James Version, which said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them, and then teach them to observe all things." Those two words for teach are two different words. The first word is manthano. It means to make disciples. The second word means to... And that's kind of on the job training, make disciples. So in a sense, a sponsor is a disciple maker. And so that's the way I think of it, yes.
How do you identify the sponsor? How do you come up? Like in my church, I'd like to have sponsors before I start this program.
Yes.
How do I identify my sponsors or train the sponsors or what do I do?
Yeah. Just keep your eyes and ears open. And it may be that... within your church, there may not necessarily be someone who would be a qualified sponsor. You may need to go to an open meeting of AA, or perhaps Overeaters Anonymous, or Sexaholics Anonymous, or another anonymous group that might be meeting in your town where there is someone who's had considerable experience, and see if you can find someone who is a Christian, because I think that's important to know that they have the spiritual roots. Ideally, it would be wonderful and will be wonderful when within all of our Seventh-day Adventist churches, hopefully someday that will be, that we will have those who are qualified to be sponsors. And a person may come to the group and just say, I'm new to the group. I'm looking for someone as a sponsor, someone that can give me some direction in working my program. I'm new to this. And it may be that you may want to meet two or three times before you ask a question like that. Or within your own church family, if it's a larger church, the chances are there'll be someone there who has had experience, perhaps as a sponsor in a secular 12-step group. Yes?
Can you use counselors as sponsors?
I suppose a person could, but many times a counselor... They may or may not have worked. Ideally, they should have I don't like those words, could have and should have and would have, but ideally in their education, they will have experienced a 12-step group. And so they will have some understanding. Are you thinking for pay or for volunteer? Mm-hmm. Yeah, most counselors are not inclined to, in other words, it's fee for services. Okay. So ideally, it's a volunteer program, and ideally it would be best if we can find someone that we don't have to be paying something for. Okay. One more question, then we need to get
is
rolling.
Is a sponsor in the AA, don't they call them buddies?
No. That was a term that was used in the five-day plan to stop smoking many years ago.
Okay, that's right.
And that was an accountability partner that was
so
intended.
Are they supposed to be doing the same thing where they can call each other and help each other?
Generally, it's the responsibility of the sponsee to call the sponsor. So the sponsor, they're available, but they want to make sure that the sponsee, the person they're sponsoring, is responsible. In other words, if the sponsor says, you can call me anytime, day or night, or they may limit the time, you can call me anytime between 8 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night or whatever the agreement might be, then you have the privilege of calling them. And they may be busy, may not be able to take your message right then, but they'll get back to you. You can give a voicemail message, or you can text them, which is something that's fairly common.
This media was produced by Audioverse for the NAD Health Summit. If you would like to learn more about the NAD Health Summit, please visit www.nadhealthsummit.com. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.